Welcome to the Live Kootenays podcast. This episode is featuring Defied, a hip-hop duo out of Nelson, B.C. Out of the East, out of Nelson, B.C. What does that mean? Well, you'll find out. It's cryptic. It's archaic. You might be able to hear him driving around, saving time by doing two things at once. Driving with Norbert and checking out this lady walking on the side of the road, slightly dipped to one side, wearing a very nice velvet high collar red jacket. It looks like it's warm and stylish. Oh, there's someone else at the outside the looks like the church. Well, that's a lot of toilet paper. Hey, Norbert, she got like 10 of those big bags. I'm gonna ask her what she's doing. Are you guys expecting a lot of pooping this weekend? I mean, you guys have a shindig going on this weekend? It's a lot of TP. Oh, yeah? Huh. Well, maybe I can make it. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure what the words were that she said. But I'm not probably going to make it. Okay. I also am going straight to Chris Mansbridge, acupuncturist, office. And I'm going to ask him a couple of questions I have about acupuncture. Chris Mansbridge, acupuncturist. It says on the sign. What's acupuncture?
So acupuncture, by definition, is the insertion of fine needles into the body to get a physiological effect. I do traditional Chinese medicine acupuncture, which means it comes from traditional Chinese medicine theory, which is over 4,000 years old, looking at essentially creating balance in the body through a smooth flow of nutrients circulating in your body.
Beautiful. Let's say someone's really, really bunged up. Really bunged up and can't get the shit out due to slow digestion through their tracts. Can acupuncture help with that?
Oh, yeah. I debung all the time. Debung's a bit of a medical term that you don't need to bother yourself with this technical terminology.
It's deep. 4,000-year-old
yeah,
term.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we've been debunging people for 4,000 years. So imagine if today it stopped debunging. There's no way. The debungness will continue forever. Yeah, no, I treat constipation all the time.
I see a lot of thank you gifts and notes outside. A lot from athletes.
Oh.
Yeah, so what is it? How does acupuncture help the rugged human to get him back in the game?
Well, sure. Like I treat sports medicine, sports injury. You know, so people have a big bike crash or something, they hurt their leg or their shoulder. Like, yeah, I treat musculoskeletal injuries all the time. But we also want to look at like why people have injuries as well. So the biggest thing in like action sports, so like think skiing, snowboarding, skateboarding, mountain biking, these sports that you're kind of self-directed and you're taking chances. The reason most people, like the stats show that 80% of the reason people crash are because of a miscalculation. Right. So a miscalculation can be from I thought I should be going faster. You know, I was going too slow, too fast. I thought I could make it, whatever. Now, why do we miscalculate things? Like fatigue, being hungover, being anxious, poor sleep, all these other reasons that like we don't often look at when we're treating athletes. But this is like essentially if you can treat these other things that are non-muscle problems, you should usually reduce the likelihood of a crash by 80%. Right? And that's what I think makes acupuncture as sports medicine really unique. It's one of the few sports medicines that will actually look at people's sleep, stress, digestion, these other factors that that allow you to perform that much better if you look into them.
Mind-blowing.
I know. There's
blood coming out. I'm blown.
Did you see? There's blood coming out of your ears, yeah.
The preventative as well.
Yeah.
Put that together. Yeah. And I noticed the sign out front.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that new sign?
I think you're referring to the Tim Hortons sign, or the sign that looks suspiciously similar to Tim Hortons.
Yeah, suspicious.
So I kind of wanted to go with the Tim Hortons theme because I'm right across. I made the same sign just with my credentials on it. No joke, 3 weeks ago I was pulling that sign into the clinic, and some lady in a minivan tried to stop me because she thought I was stealing Tim Hortons sign and bringing it to my clinic.
I mean, how do you notice any difference?
Yeah, well, they say they're always fresh, and I'm pretty fresh too, so I kind of want to jump on board.
you can get some Chris acupuncture in Castlegar on Columbia Avenue across from the, yeah, guess what, Tim Hortons. You almost can't miss it. As we stroll on Waldy Island, the little park that walks by both the sanitation dump, which is the sewage collection site across the river in Castlegar, and the old ferry logging place, Waldy Island. There's a sanctuary here for birds as well. I'm not a very good tour guide, but I can read this sign that says growth of local industry, making cheap transport of logs possible. And it goes on from there. As I mentioned, the guest today is Defied. Defied is a hip hop duo residing in Nelson, British Columbia. They are from corners of this great land country. JJ Watts, Jamie, and Maddie versus. They've played Shambhala, Friendship Cruise. They've shared the stage with Souls of Mischief and Chaos. It's amazing music. I love their music. Incredible. There's a sense of urgency that I find inside the laid-back delivery of the bass and the beats.
Defied. In the studio. I'm just kidding. I don't have a studio. Jamie and Maddie from Defied. Defining the natural. Jamie Maddie, defy the natty. Hip hop beat that defines a habby. Tat 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 tat, tit for tat. Defy's gonna start sampling the shit out of that. That beat, that dark mountain beat. The Kootenays give us what we're gonna eat. You can't get it if you don't go get it. Two naturals in a rugged land. A rugged land, a manufactured natural. Naturally inspired to create. In the land of no questions, if you don't ask, don't tell. We don't remember anyway.
Don't remember like, anyway.
Don't remember what we did yesterday.
Don't remember!
How are we supposed to remember where we work or something like that? Complicated. Don't ask that stuff. That's really difficult. On the Live Kootenays podcast, this is Defied.
Well, we can't just do split one part airspace. Of Defied.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Nope.
Well, because probably if you did, the other one would just be hanging out and not talking.
Yeah, standing nearby.
Because we'd both be there anyway.
Yeah.
So here's my first question. What is inspiration? What is it?
Like as a term?
Yeah, what is it to you, I guess, would be a better way of putting it.
Anything that sparks the doing.
Jamie.
Anything that sparks the doing of the art. If it sparks you to do something and make something, then it inspired you and it can be anything.
Yeah.
Is it, yeah. Can you recognize it?
Sometimes when it's like right in front of you, but it's everything is inspiration and like it's a culmination. Like I say it with lots of times with lyrics, like I'll write things and a lot of times I'm thinking of the pattern and how it feels with the song and whatever, and not so much going into like what am I saying. It's just these are the words that make sense, and then later on once the song's finished I'll like extract meaning from and be like, oh, I was kind of there in that space, but it wasn't with intention. So I think it's like that's you absorbing and then, or it's me absorbing and then putting out the inspiration without it being like even a conscious thing. So no, you don't always recognize it in the moment.
Right.
There's also looking for it too. Like I come from the other side of it where I'm like thinking of inspiration as, it's like a lens of looking at the world. Then you see it in a way that could translate to music or translate into what you're working on, mm-hmm. so that it can become inspiration. So you kind of just like have your eyes wide. And sometimes what I'll do if I don't know what to do, for instance, I'll like just like go on my Spotify and start looking for a song that I like just dig.
Yeah, what is something like that? What is something, can you recognize it? And what is something you've listened to in the past that inspired you? Like, what was the music that inspired you? Or an example of a music?
I'm always terrible at coming up with things, like, from retrieving it from my brain. But on that idea, it's usually, like, a really good, like, a kick snare pattern that will just, like, catch me.
Inspire
and
you.
Then I'll be like, oh, I want to try and make that feel. And then by, like, trying to make it myself, it's inherently not going to be that, and so it's like my own thing, and then I just kind of
am inspired enough to go off from there, and I never even go back to the song. It's just like one part of it can inspire me, like one sound. What about you, Maddie?
Yeah, I was thinking the same.
Well, yeah, and then the like same with production. It's like I sample lots because I come from a like old school way of making of hip hop, which is literally just sampling from records. And so I still kind of bring that into the way I produce now. And so I'll start a lot of my songs with a sample. So I'll just listen to like random, well, what was the, I made a string of beats recently using just like sounds
it's like 70s synth.
Yeah, they were the modular synths. And so I guess there was like a big push in Canada in the early 60s to like keep up with synthesizer technology. But it was like, you'd almost need like a building to have what we use now as like very basic synthesizers. But there would be these huge compositions put out by like a ton of different artists at the time that were like funded by, it was, I think it was Canada and like, was it Holland? There was like a bunch of Dutch composers as well. But I must have listened to like, I don't know, 100 hours of these like blips and bloops and whatever, and would just listen and listen until I found like one sound or one string of sounds that I found that I would want to like sample.
Really trippy stuff. Yeah, like, and Maddie would be in like this liminal mood too. He's like, I've just been sitting for 4 hours listening to
lots of whooshes. But every once in a while there'd just be that one sound that you're like, oh, I could listen to that on repeat, or if I turn that backwards and then made it repeat a little.
Yeah, and chop it up.
Modulate it and whatever, then, yeah. But that's an example of stuff that inspires me.
Yeah, looking for inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a live performance that you saw that you remember? What was the first one you remember? First live performance. I guess sort of like going along with, this is like, I like inspiration. Mm-hmm. So going along with it, like live shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can sometimes make you understand what the music is, right?
100%. Mm-hmm. I come from a background of musical theater, both in like my as an audience member and as an actor and singer in musical theater. That's what I did for a job before the pandemic, and there's literally magic to be made in the liveness of it. Like our heartbeats are resonating. Everybody sitting in the same room thinking about the same thing is fucking powerful, and it's the magic of it being different every single night. You can do the same show for months, and it's a different experience every night. And anyone who does live things, especially something that you do the same thing over and over again, you really understand how, like, just the unique dynamic of each room. Like, you're never gonna gather that exact set of heartbeats and eyes and narratives and everybody looking at the same thing. And then you end up just like breathing together, and like you go on this extra journey that I think people don't realize how powerful it is to be in a group. We've, since the beginning of time, right? The oral tradition of like being in a group and someone making sounds and us all paying attention.
I've never really looked at it this way. Like, I've been trying to figure that one out. So that's why when there's like a sold out show feels way different than a half sold out show. Mm-hmm. And it might not be the numbers, but it's that sensation, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if it goes so much with sold out to not, because
it doesn't have to be
sold out. But I just mean that, like, I've played shows where it's like, it's more engagement. Like if everybody's on board, you know what I mean? Everybody's there and like.
Yeah, which sometimes means sold out, because if it's sold out, inherently everyone's it's a good
bought indication. It out.
But there's a lot of.
And I've been to sold out shows where it's just the thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where people aren't like necessarily there for what's happening. They're there because something's happening, and for whatever reason, it doesn't engage the crowd, and it can actually be like detrimental if you're into the performance. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I've definitely been to like third sold out shows where everybody's super into it, and it's like one of the funnest times ever.
I'm thinking about like a hardcore show I've gone through was this 10 for 10. It was the last time they ever did 10 for 10. It was in Calgary.
Yeah.
And I think that feeling like you got it for free, it was off the walls. There was people hanging from the rafters on one end and the other end, inspired by each other. And it was pure violence in smiles, right? Pure is cool. It wasn't sold out though.
Yeah.
I think it's the genre then maybe too. Anyway, how did the...
Maybe the violence part was.
Maybe the violence part. Yeah. But I mean, if you're... I guess it could happen with certain things. Like I'm thinking about... I'm just going to delete all this. But I think about...
Undo.
Like if I'm going to go to a country western show, I was brought up listening to that only. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the rock and roll. So I snuck the radio in.
Yeah.
But seeing a show like that, where a guy's getting paid, never feels the same as people who aren't getting paid. You know? So maybe that's why the genre does matter. And the sounds do matter. Like you guys, when I see you play, I can
now,
feel
I think
it.
That is going into a whole different problem case of making capitalism match up with art. And that's really
hard. That could
be
it too.
So it's like going down that rabbit hole. I'm like, no, because I mean, I've seen like the most brilliant Broadway show or even not even Broadway, just like a brilliant live production where... Sure, somebody's getting paid and that's their job, but like their job is to make magic and they're making the magic.
Yeah,
they draw everyone in and you go on an emotional journey and everybody at the same time like holds their breath and like a single tear falls. Like it's so, that's powerful. And I don't think that has anything to do with whether they're getting a paycheck. That's just like a, yeah. Cause I'm pretty sure that I would make even more magic if I was getting a good paycheck.
Yeah, right. Well, and exactly.
You know, probably.
But in a lot of ways, it's like, it does come down to like the artists themselves and what where they're at in that exact show, where the audience is as well. But like if given a bigger budget or at least an amount that they can go, okay, I want to do exactly the performance that like is intended of the music. For example, like my favorite show I've ever been to was like James Blake during the Retrograde tour, and the setup that they had was elaborate, but not over the top. And it was like exactly perfect for that performance. And then when I've seen like his newer stuff where he has a more elaborate setup, it's specific to that album. And then he'll do another one where it's trimmed down or whatever. So like giving someone too much of a budget isn't necessarily going to like detract from, often it can go like, here's what the artist intended.
Yeah, facilitates.
You know what I mean? So it can be... It comes down to how they use it. Sometimes it just turns into like someone having a giant blown up teddy bear over their stage and pyrotechnics everywhere. That
the Kevin Costner effect.
Yeah.
Give him too much money, he makes
Waterworld. Exactly. Yeah.
How did Defied come about? How did that project start?
I moved to Nelson and was kind of openly like looking for people to make music with. And somebody connected us and was like, Maddie's pretty open to just like, yeah, you're new and you want to do something. Let's like try it out. And I think often it's either just like doesn't work out or the person doesn't show up or whatever. But I don't know. I showed up and Maddie was working on some beats in a previous project called Night Shift with Zach, and they were working on beats. And then I just was like here and then. And then we just kind of all started making stuff. Mm-hmm. And eventually it distilled down to like a clear project that we were creating, if that makes sense. So we're like, we need to name this and let's do it.
Yeah, exactly that. It was just really good timing. It's like I've put together a bunch of different projects over time and it always like is with different artists and it's usually like a two-person collaboration, sometimes a little bigger. But I had just done those Night Shift projects and we'd put out like three EPs and Zach was moving away. And so it kind of made sense for Jamie and I, like when we met, it was just like, oh, dope. You want to make stuff?
Yeah, we're both like really obsessed in the exact same way and had the like, just, I don't know, that's where we were prioritizing, like doing the music thing in a way that paired up really well.
Yeah, it made sense too, because it was like we were both kind of had a background in electronic and bass music, but hadn't really, like, I hadn't gone full on with anything in that direction. Most of my stuff had been like hip hop or R&B soul oriented or along those lines of collaboration previously. And this was the first time where we were both like, okay, well, I think we could also make the beats for this. Mm-hmm. And it was like enough that we had enough collaborators. We like work with great producers mm-hmm. also, but we had enough like in each other that we were like, I think we could produce.
Yeah.
I think we could basically take on the production for this record.
Yeah, which has been really cool.
Yeah.
Both of us, again, we came in at a good time where we were both in the same early stages of learning music production in Ableton. So we kind of like helped each other out and like, yeah. Dude, did you know that this is how this works? And like, you know, walked through it around the same like pace, which was good.
Yeah. And we both have like a natural like affinity for different things that work so well together. Like I'm way more on the like drums and we work on the bass lines together. And then Jamie's really good with the melodies. And so it's just like the things that we...
Yeah, when we like
stumped on
exactly,
on
it's like a perfect handoff moment exactly. for both sides. So like we'll often create separately and then kind of like bring a show and tell to each other, and then it's a perfect swap moment yeah. where it's like I hear all the ways in which I'm like, okay, that one bass line feels a little out of tune, but it's like just needs this, and then Maddie's brilliant lyricist, and we'll be like, that'll be like the next phase of it where it's like he'll start to write something to it, and then I'll find the melodies and harmonics and like arrangement for it. Yeah, so when I said we collaborate, it's like genuine.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist without the other side. The songs are purely like...
Yeah, totally.
Collaborative.
So when you guys are working on putting the lyrics on the beat, like I've experimented with this, but like how do you do it? Do you rewrite or do you, like I listen to Pharoah Monch and it sounds like he likes his lyrics. He likes his lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to do whatever to match it with the music, and sometimes that's why he gets so unique, such unique stops and starts and different tunes throughout on every song, pretty much. So how do you do it? Do you sit there and write and worry about how does it come apart for you or come together?
Well, it depends. It's different with every track, obviously, but it always just comes from where the beat starts. Like I rarely will write without the beat specifically. Sometimes if there's like a couple words that make sense and I know would spark something else as far as like content, but as far as like patterns and stuff, I let the beat dictate it. And it's like a combination of like catching freestyles and like then editing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm freestyling 8 bars or anything like right. that. It'll be like a 2-bar segment, but it'll be like what comes off of the last thing the most naturally. And that's really what I'm trying to catch, is be like what rolls off the tongue like you would say it, but it happens to be in a rap
what
form.
What you want to say. Yeah, yeah. Rap form.
Nice. Yeah.
So what is this, you talk about the fusion of it. This is going to be one of my last very serious music questions. Like when you're fusing it, are you coming up with a beat and you're coming up with a beat separately and doing that together? So you're listening to all sorts of music during the day and then you come up with something. Mm-hmm. Is it like, do you work with like bass lines more or do you like the drums more? And how do you guys collaborate these things? Like what's your preferences each?
I feel like we both kind of start with sample or like starting with samples.
With samples, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's where it becomes the collaborative thing. I'll yeah. often lean towards starting to like layer harmonic, like things that are like melodically in harmony and making like sing-songy patterns where Maddie's ear goes to rhythm and patterns first.
Drums.
And so the drums always, you will create the multi-layers of the drums first. And so that's often where like, that's where the swap is good. Mm-hmm.
So it's like essentially we'll each make a beat and then we'll pass it off to the other person. And then the thing that we hear to augment is what we'll alter. So it's like a lot of times it'll be Jamie will make the drums, we'll make drums. But then I'll hear like a counter snare.
Yeah.
Or I don't like the sound of this hi-hat.
I need an orienting snare. I often leave out a snare
Jamie
sometimes.
Rarely puts
I like
in
hear
an
it in my head,
snare.
Never put it in the beat. Mm-hmm. So it's like always missing like a very clear drum that like needs to hold it all together.
Yeah.
Maddie is the one to point out where those are missing.
Yeah.
And you find like a good like shuffle pattern to add, yep. like a hi-hat, yeah. like
yeah, like counter kicks, counter snares, yeah. just tightening
the zhuzhing of things.
Yeah. And just in basic things, it's like I'll overlook certain things, Jamie will overlook certain things where it just because we're excited to get to the part we're good at.
Yeah.
And then, so it's kind of like, if you had done this at the start, it would have all worked. And so like a little shift will make the whole thing perfect. But you're like, I'll go crazy going like, why is this not sitting right?
Yeah, the benefit of having a music partner is that like, when you get buried in a project, you can't see it anymore. And then you're like, I don't know, it's all bad. And I can't hear it. I can't hear the song anymore. And so you either need to like take a week away from it and come back, or you hand it to somebody and they immediately are like, oh, it's just this one thing.
Oh yeah.
And then you like can kind of shift it and then things start to come together again. And then you can hear it again. And it's really nice.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Would you like a sample of this cheddar cheese? It's aged.
I would love some aged cheddar cheese.
Come over and get some. It's fresh and hot.
All right.
Oh, no. Are you okay? What's that?
Why is your dick hard?
Woke up this morning thinking about cheese. Walked to the store looking for some cheese. Walked in the door, got offered some cheese. But instead of some cheese, you got a dick in your mouth. Instead of some cheese, you got a dick in your mouth.
Have you ever tripped going after cheese and ended up with a dick in your mouth? Well, you need a lawyer that can get you paid, bitch. You got a dick in your mouth that you did not want in there today. And why was it so hard? And what about the cheese? If he loves cheese that much, should he be serving it to other people? Check the cheese. I thought of that myself. That's how good of a lawyer I am. I would nail this guy for you, for us. Jeremy Kimberly Lawyer. 778-266-6969. Give me a call. But seriously, I just hung out my tile here in Christova. I will take on a couple of really juicy ones as I am new in town, almost pro bono. 20%. That's it. That's all I'm going to charge. I'm pretty good. I have incentives. I have two donkeys to feed. I got a head of cow. I have three roosters as well. Come on, give me a call. I'm a real lawyer, best in Christova. Jeremy Kimberly Lawyer, 778-266-6969.
Have you ever waved at someone thinking it was your friend?
Literally daily. I think I'm very friendly.
Yeah.
So I will be, I'll take the hit, you know? I'm always like.
Do you feel that hit?
Well, in case they do know me. And often like.
That's right.
I hit that more often where I'm like, I'm the shithead who like didn't recognize you or didn't know who you were, but you were waving.
Although I will say like, I won't initiate it, but I definitely get the like in between once in a while. You're like, hi. And then you realize it's someone behind you. Those are the painful ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those ones hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's them. Yeah.
Because then it's two people noticing you're dumb.
Yeah. And you're just standing between them and they have to like approach each other like through you and you're like, hi. Yeah. Yeah.
You ever made friends doing this?
No.
No. No. Me neither.
No, that's where you run away. You need to immediately dip.
Yeah. Oh, I get embarrassed like that one where someone sees someone behind you. That's a good one. I don't know why it bugs me though. It's just a genuine thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I just had a childhood flashback to like grabbing the wrong leg of like a parent.
Yeah, I did that.
At the bus stop, it was like not my mom.
A long pea coat, like a blue pea coat. And it was just like everyone had them. And I just remember being so small and like grabbing the coat.
The hand,
being like,
yeah.
Can I get the...
Oh,
that moment, you're just like, that's not mom.
Yeah.
Mom's stranger. Dead.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, I've done that. What a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
I've been abandoned. Oh, there.
Yeah.
And everyone's laughing. Yeah, it's not funny, man. Really funny, guys. Who's someone you'd love to share the stage with?
Share the stage is interesting because it's like...
Yeah.
Because it's like... So that implies we've made a song. Because I wouldn't want to just get up randomly with somebody that I'm like. So it's more like, who would I want to make a song with?
Sort of. I was thinking more, let's say they invited you, hey, you know this, can you learn this verse, come on stage. Like, who's like up there with you and they're like, hey man, we love you. Can you come do this song with us?
Like that has a possibility to happening?
I guess.
Oh.
That would be cool.
That's different. I don't know. We have like lots of friends and peers that I really like respect and
would
love to jump on stage with.
Anytime,
you know what I mean?
It's another one of those questions where I have to like recall things from a list and I don't retrieve information that way.
Yeah.
So it's not, I'm like, blank. I've never met anyone in my life. I'm kidding.
I don't know anybody. Never been on there. What do you mean? You guys played with Chaos, though, didn't you? Open for Chaos.
Yeah, we did.
Open for Chaos.
There's a pretty wide time between when we played and Chaos went on stage. So it feels hard.
That was an interesting night. Yeah.
We played with Chaos. It was a weird
night. Yeah, it would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've played. Who have we opened for? That's open for lots of people.
Tor Merge.
That's true. Tor and Merge. For Prev's band. What's the name of their band? You know, Prevail from Swollen Members.
Yep.
Yeah, we opened for their band. That was super fun.
There was a time when I was growing up where Canadian hip hop would seem like the B version of real hip hop.
Yeah.
But then I go back now and I'm listening to old Rascals and things, and there's no difference between the American versions or anyone versions and how good that is. Mm-hmm. There's no difference. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what that, why would, did you ever feel that way? Like Canada had like the second tier music scene? I know that's a lot to do with media.
Sort of. There was definitely an era where like, Canada stayed on the, and this is like way, way back, Canada stayed on the, I don't want to say corny side of hip hop, but kind of that a little too long, like Maestro Fresh West and like Snow and like, what was that, Mr. Metro or whatever, that like these were the things that were on like Rap City way back in the day. And then there was artists like, well, Rascals were the perfect example. For me anyways, that was like my first introduction to West Coast hip hop, being from Toronto, was Rascals performed on Rap City with a breakdance crew called Bag of Tricks. And that was like the first time I'd heard like Really Living. And I was like, oh, this is great. It was kind of like a combination of a lot of the like the grittier side of what I was enjoying from like Das FX or like these artists from like New York, but then also like Far Side. It was like also connected to like all the elements of hip hop at the time, and like all that kind of stuff was, yeah, super interesting. I think there was like an underappreciated side of like Cardinal Official, I say, would be the best one on the East Coast of being like, he was really dope before his time. Mm. And then, you know, Drake has kind of just leveled everybody up, that it's like now Canadian music is on par with the rest of the world. Some of the biggest, you know, especially in hip hop.
And The Weeknd.
And The Weeknd, yeah. And even, like, Bieber.
Yeah.
If you want to go, like, full-on pop.
Absolutely.
It's like, Canada kind of runs.
Yeah. Celine Dion. Like, some of the greatest voices in history. Yeah.
Especially when you go with, like, population ratio, right? Yeah, that's, like, a lot of fucking awesome talent and stardom for such a small population country.
Yeah, and I'm with you about the... if you guys just... I think it should be way more funded a lot better. There should be funded a lot better where people who make music make money.
Yeah.
Well, and not because
Canada's
you're making
not bad
music,
for funding, but it's kind dope. Of...
It's just hard to get.
It's hard to get that funding. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of, I find, bureaucratic loopholes where I'm like I went to university and I struggle with all of our grant application things, mm-hmm. and we still haven't gotten one. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like genuinely hard. And I'm like, and I'm coming from someone who's like, who's got the privilege of like having studied how to do this type of like bureaucratic bullshit, yeah. right? Yeah. Like, and I just, it makes me sad because I'm like, dude, if there's that kind of barrier to entry for somebody who like in theory should have these skills, I'm like, what is everyone, what's the, yeah. what are the chances that you can get this done? Because exactly. it's hard. It's a lot of paperwork. Mm-hmm. So shout out to anyone working on fucking grant proposals.
Yeah.
yeah. It is serious, page after page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is a very good point. It should be more streamlined. And it's, I don't know how they would base the criteria of getting it.
It's
but
so tough because you can't make it, there's like no way to make it merit based.
Yeah, there is yeah. no it's way. Like it's art.
It has to be experience based. And I don't know how like that also gets you in
it
a,
also
like,
mixes
a rough,
in with...
rough thing that if you're not already in
yeah.
the accredited, you know what I mean? We could say we've done 1,000 bar shows and that doesn't mean anything to them, but it's us getting in touch with. It's us, like, directly in our community performing for, you know what I mean?
Even the ones where you wouldn't necessarily need it, you do still have to have the skills to put it into a form that shows professionally how not professional you are.
Yeah.
And, like, that's difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying?
Yeah, yeah. So true.
Yeah. Restrictive about it. Give out the money and have it be a lot of like having to show what you've done with it back in ways that are like in mediums that are much easier for artists and lowers the like playing field in terms of how to communicate with these grant givers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Start with tier programs where you're going like,
yeah, much, you can like graduate into a,
and then going, okay, well, as long as we see that that was applied in the way that you said,
yeah,
here's another,
here's more money. And like
every time you do that,
totally,
you're eligible for more. And then you're making like less of a, like less of an investment in individual people that could potentially blow the whole thing and going, let's see
who does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see what sticks. And like, yeah.
I like that idea. See what sticks, kind of prove what you did. And if you don't do what you said you're going to do, you get a year where you can't apply.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
right?
There's ways to make it within that
system.
And then,
because also artists are habitually bad with money. So if it is a smaller investment, then you're also not putting that on them. And you're going like, if you mess up, you mess up.
That is where a lot of the right. like difficulties are too. Just like the amount of like small detail things that are difficult for like budgeting and for monitoring finances and all these things can make it really difficult too.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's like when you think about where creativity comes from, it usually comes from less when you're less stressed.
Yeah.
When you're less stressed.
Yeah, let's go into universal basic income discussion in general, right?
How can you create when you're
Everybody's going to do way better if you're not feeling like you about, if you don't have a safety.
There'd be a lot.
Yeah.
Fewer angry people because their stress levels
and probably
wouldn't
less
even
sick
exist.
People and probably more productivity and more art and
Have you ever gone and done some stretching or yoga and worried that you accidentally recreated a sacred movement ritual that could summon the undead?
Similarly, I go through like where I'm like stretching and then I'll like without knowing what I'm doing, it's like I do a series of movements and then I get like a crack in my neck or like a good one, like a crack, like a something like falls into place in a way where I'm like, whoa, how did I unlock that with that series of movements that I would never be able to recreate, but put my body in a position that allowed that like weightlessness or weight to like put something back into place. So that is the closest that I would say I've come to that.
That's like a spiritual revelation.
Yeah, it's like an internal undead thing.
You woke yourself up.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do humans have a difficult time getting along?
If it was any easier, the population control would be out of hand. You know what I mean? People seem to get along just fine. It's lots of people.
Yeah, and we think it's not going well. When it's going better than ever by to the many degrees.
Yeah, you ever seen like a crosswalk in New York or Tokyo? People are getting along just fine. There could be a lot more conflict.
There could be a lot more conflict. Yeah. That's a very good point. Go, okay. One guy says no, and get the fuck out.
Yeah, my brain went into like anthropological, philosophical moments of like, what is other, what is self, and we are built on survival, right? It's because we're just mammals trying to survive, and we survive best in small groups, and then in order to define a group, you need to define what is not the group, and that kind of thing. That's where my brain went.
Yeah. So when, and I think that's...
So that's why we end up not getting along. You gotta, you gotta establish yourself as something, and often that involves othering something else.
And I think that, here's why I ask these things, the Kootenays and Nelson, and all the West Kootenays is small.
Yeah.
So the artist community is a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Do you, and it's almost like kids having fewer toys, they play more often with those toys, right? Is that, how's the hip hop scene here? How's the music, how would you describe it in the West Kootenays? And do you think because it's smaller, that you find a bit more freedom to create?
I personally have like stayed here for that reason. It's like I have a bunch of friends all over Canada and in the States that, do similar things and that have scenes that, you know, I could go and like move there and try to involve myself in the scene that already exists. But I always felt with Nelson, especially, like, here you can have a direct impact, and there's not a lot of contemporaries where I'm going, like, I'm competing with you. It's, I want success for everybody here, because it feels like everybody contributes something completely different. And yeah, that's more inspiring than being around a bunch of rappers for me personally. Like, I have a few friends that rap. Shout out Ty C, he's on a couple of our tunes, but like, he's one of the few people that I'll make songs with, because it's just like, I don't know, I already do that. We don't really need, I don't need a song with five rappers on. I've done that. I'm like, not against it, but I don't need to do that anymore. You know what I mean? It's not something I enjoy as much. I'd rather like
find people with Aurelian, other
friend who plays incredible violin.
Yeah, and like, he's also a chocolatier. Shout out the Chocafella. They just opened nice chocolate.
Chocafella.
Chocafella with Aurelian, yeah. And they opened one just on Vernon. There.
Yeah, a shop on Vernon.
Yeah, like across from the post office.
And yeah, he's played like awesome violin, and you know, we'll work with like Prophet, this kid Isaiah, that makes awesome beats outside of the genre that we would ordinarily like.
Yeah, we've released gravitate quite towards a few tunes with him.
The songs we've made with him are something special because he does something special, and so it's nice to have that be the inspo instead of like there be any kind of competitive nature around what we do.
Yeah, Maddie and I are really.
That's like unique.
Not competitive.
To a small area, at least. And yeah. Unique to hear, I think.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really what makes me happy being in Nelson. I was like a working artist in Toronto for like 15 years. And it was always that kind of, it was a combination of you having to defend that you are an artist at all with people kind of like in Toronto, it's very much like, hello, what do you do? You know, hello, what's your income bracket? It's kind of this like undertone to everything. And so when you answer basically like, oh, what I do doesn't really make any money. They are like, oh, it's okay. You know, and like, that's the answer. And so you're facing that dynamic. And then when you're between projects, it's just hard to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, and you never have an answer for the stupid first question everybody asks about work. And then the other artists are often competitive in a way that's hard, right? Like, it's not evil, it's just this like,
it's the nature of
You know, I would go to like a casting call and sit in a room with like 15 other chicks who look just like me and have my same swag, and I'm like, cool, I'm not into, like, you know, how can you not feel competitive? There's one job and one of us is going to get it. And so it's hard to like practice what you feel in your heart where you're like, dude, I actually want everybody to make brilliant art and come up. And Nelson is this kind of like weird magic combination of being a, I don't know, it's a medium-sized community where you can affect things and you can make things. I can take a chance and like throw a big event and like involve as many artists as I can and
have a market.
Yeah, and like, and then throw like a market in the front of it and like have my favorite burlesque dancers do like full acts and just, I don't know, it would be a lot harder to organize that in Toronto. Not just to get everybody like agreed upon, but like to find us like a space to like get everybody feeling like they're, I don't know. It's harder to work when everybody's a bit competitive. It's easier to work when we're a little more Nelson chill and everybody's like, yeah, I could do that, you know?
Like, well, then you started with the best thing too, because I noticed the same thing when I came from the East Coast, was that at the start of everybody's conversation is, what do you do?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the like rudest thing you can ask in Nelson.
Yeah, nobody talks about work here.
If you're like,
I've never been asked that here.
You know? Like,
never.
Like, if I don't, if we haven't already found out, like, do you have kids? Do you know their name? All these other things. If you don't, if those aren't before, like, what do you do for work?
Yeah,
then
I know.
You're like,
it's like second level friendship before you get to that kind of like intimate detail.
Yeah.
And it's kind of beautiful. Like, my partner and I, my partner Justin and I have been together for 15 years, and they work in tech. And so they get a lot of the just like, Toronto is like, I approve of you. You know what I mean? Like, you have a good job and I think you're great. And so they have like kind of the easy small talk thing. And they love me and support me and always notice just this kind of like discounting of me. And like, Justin always trying to be like, no, my wife is the real genius, trying to like make it like you know, like they obviously see me for what I'm doing, but Toronto really has a struggle with that. And I think a lot of places do, actually.
I think so. Calgary does.
Yeah, I think a lot of places, honestly, most Vancouver places do. Does, yeah. Nelson is this interesting intersection of, like, you know, cannabis industry made people never talk
about.
Fuck
off with that, you know.
Ignorance. Yeah.
You don't do that here.
It's like the trickle-down effect of that.
So relieving.
It's good that it's stuck around.
It's kind of crazy. Because
it really was just because of the weed industry, you know what I mean? And so people were like, don't ask.
You know what he talks about.
Don't talk about that, you know what I mean? And so, but it's nice that it's stuck around now with like legalization and everything. People are still like, but...
We don't do
you
that.
You don't need to know.
Yeah.
What do you need
and
to
also
know
it's, yeah.
Right? We it's hug below, we hug the back, we don't talk about our jobs.
It's necessarily the most interesting thing you do.
It's and better if to it ask is for a loan.
Yeah.
It was actually awesome moving back, or not moving back, when we went back to Toronto for the first time for like a wedding, and Justin and I like learned to paraglide here, and so like Justin is like a very, like a sponsored paraglider, like we're going to a competition next month in Mexico.
No
and, like,
shit,
so
hey.
Justin does a lot of paragliding, and I don't anymore, but I did go to school with them, and I was like, I'm a very good paraglider in like the school way, like I did good, but I didn't engage in it enough to make it my passion sport. The moral of the story, is that when we went back to Toronto, it would be like kind of like the only thing we wanted to talk about. And so people would be like trying to figure out like, how are you living out? Like, what do you, they would ask in all these ways of like, but how are you doing that? And we're like, well, we go up the logging roads and we go up and we like talk about like, we're just like, we want to talk about our hobby right now. And it's funny to watch people like be like, that's not what I was getting at. I just want to know what are you doing for money out there? You know, it's like
I'm paragliding.
Yeah. What else do you want to know? I'm a free flight pilot. So.
Yeah. Work shouldn't stress you out to the point where I think that's why people ask too in Calgary. They're mad, man. What do you work? Oh, fuck. Good, that's bad, too.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, you're unhappy, too, right?
Yeah. You make more money, though? Yeah, you make more money.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
I remember, like, I was talking to a guy, and this is in Calgary as well. He was an artist. Great guy. He got mad all the time for the same reason every time. That guy is this. How the fuck does he get that truck? And I'm getting fucking this shit truck. And I told him like 20 times, like I guarantee he has a loan for that truck and
it's
a loan for
lease,
the boat on the back.
Bro.
Yeah, it's a lease and a loan. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Like nobody does that. They just care about what they look like.
It's just where you put your monthly.
Yeah. What do you value?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you value? That's why I think like for me, I get shitty trailers to tow because I'll ram that fucker into something. Mm-hmm. And I already did. Mm-hmm. Right. I will. And I know it, right?
Yeah.
Give me a new one.
Yeah, best have it pre-dented and pre, like, worked in.
Yeah, the Kootenays is pre-dented.
There you go.
Don't ask.
Yeah, I like it.
That's why the Tacoma is the Kootenay limo.
It's true.
It is.
Everyone has a Tacoma.
You're lucky when you got that canopy on the back.
Oh, man.
Yeah, who's worse? Donald Jesus Trump or Spotify?
I mean, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're on Spotify.
Yeah, you should stream our music.
Weird if we were like, that's...
I know, man.
That
one doesn't quite make sense.
There's problems with it, for sure. But
we don't know what one guy's going to do, but...
Yeah. It's a massive distribution thing, and, you know... I'm not going to talk about Trump, sorry.
No.
Yeah.
No, I can't either.
No, I think
I'm just thinking of bad things.
That's one I'd like...
Because I'm trying to think of, like... Trying to describe to my dad, who only watches one channel, like how the world's working while you look at that channel. Outside of it, it's like a thief coming in your yard. That's why I thought of Spotify. And just taking little bits of your stuff every night.
Yeah.
Little bits. And pretty soon you're left with like a little piece of grass. And you're like looking at it. It's so gradual that you're like, is my yard always this shitty? Like, have I always been embarrassed to invite people over to this place?
And I think Spotify's more symptomatic product of like, we're shifting, like, again, it's the art meets capitalism thing. It's always fucked. And so
it's
not Spotify is the evil. It's just...
No, definitely not.
Powers at play. That
and there's so much good with it. Like, our ability to reach...
We're published in a way that...
So many more people than possible with all the publishing, all, like, everything recorded properly, like...
It allows us to be real artists, not real artists, but as in, like, released artists producing... from the Kootenays too.
Yeah, the difference of being like, I'd have to like print a CD and get it in a record shop with everybody else's records, like in the same, in enough places.
Yeah.
It was unrealistic without a record label, and a record label was as bad, if not worse, than what Spotify is doing for independent artists.
So that's real. Like,
it's allowing for people to make music and put it out on their own terms. It sucks that they're not making as much money as they used to, but
sucks that they're funding war too. I'm going to say that.
Oh, fair. Yeah,
but they all, I'm not going to say all, I can't say that word anymore. But like a lot of people are, and I think they always did, right? So you think about record labels, how bad they were. Man, I've heard some horror stories of record labels. Guys, they end up with bankrupt musicians.
Oh, for sure.
And the A&R guy gets like
owed too. People with 360 deals that would get $1 million advance that would only be getting like 2% off of anything that they were making, and they had to still pay back that $1 million. It's like, that's, unless you're the biggest artist in the world, that's super impossible. So they get you on a three record deal, $3 million advance for each one. And now by the end of that deal, if you haven't paid that back, you're in debt, whatever the outstanding amount is. And that's like standard. And it's the Spotify isn't doing that to anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bring it back to the book Sapiens, where, I can't remember what I was going to say now. I got excited about two different thoughts at the same time.
My working memory really struggles all the time.
So. Oh, yeah, where they're saying, like, there's way fewer murders, way less violent crime than ever. Yeah,
for sure.
Exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Shit used to be much more brutal.
Yeah. And
everywhere.
And, like, I'll wake up because I get, like, riled up about news. Then I have to remind myself this already happened. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over.
Just wasn't live-streamed.
Just wasn't live-streamed. Yeah. The reason why we know Spotify's doing this is because of the thing that makes me mad too, right? I'm mad about what I saw in there, and I'm also know about it now. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
You're saying, there's inherently less of like a shroud because A, there's more users on it. There's more artists that you would have contact with and being able to say, these are the exact numbers. This is how it works. So extrapolate it out to Madonna or Bieber or whatever, and this is how it would work for them as well, where you wouldn't necessarily know that with record label previously, because it was just they would trot out their stars, that's what you saw the show, saw the video, and then the numbers weren't shared. So it's like we're lucky to know that this is the devil we're in bed with, but we always were, so you know what I mean.
All right.
Like, I know that there are two people listening to our music right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
There's two people listening right now.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Currently.
We have
2,100
monthly listeners right now.
Yeah.
How many?
2,100.
Yeah, it's
so that's feeling really good. This is the highest it's ever been.
For the last little while. Really stoked.
You're catching us at our peak, really.
I'm catching
so
you
far,
on the first.
So far, so far.
The first peak.
Yeah.
The first peak.
Or early on a...
Well, I put it on, too. I put on everything I hear around here. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, and not always shocked, but it was so good. So I put it in my library.
Thanks.
So, like, I'm sure people do that because it's different enough that so you can catch that it's different right away. Cool. And anyone who listens to hip-hop, like, I listen to it way more than any other genre just because of the algorithm, and that's what I like. I like to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And... If a lot of people are like me, when you hear something different, you know immediately that that's inspired by something else.
Yeah.
Different. That's not a Wu-Tang ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, that's not another derivative of that certain sound. It's something that I haven't heard. And it's so, that's why I thank you guys for making that.
No, I appreciate that. That's our goal with, it, and it's just our, we get bored.
We're always the most excited about what we just made. And then
Just messing with like a new genre, a new pattern, a new melody, whatever. But it's always coming from different places. So we're trying to like, I don't know, keep up with our own lack of patience with ourselves.
Perfect,
If we had to make like a album of like a theme, I don't think we could pull it off.
No, I'm not very good at when... Like, I do video editing, and I'm like, I can't do it when it's really storyboarded out. I'm like, I'm more of a, like, what does the footage want to be? Like, show me the footage, and I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, storyboarding and, like, filling it from yeah. ahead of time. I'm like,
oh, and we're yeah, very the same like that with music. It translates exactly. We're like, if you give us like, I expect this, that's never
good. I can't do it.
Commission work, yeah.
Brain shuts down, yeah.
Yeah, those collaborating musicians where they come together to make a song, they always sound like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Someone's always got to have like a vision. You know what I mean? There's got to be a like, this is where it can go. At least like, there's got to be a through line. And if you start putting too many like, well, let's all start from scratch and all, I don't know. It just, it rarely works out.
Yeah, that's why they have so many meetings in corporations to create a hive mind.
Yeah.
And when you do that with art, you have meetings, kind of creates a generic sounding things. Well, thanks for coming on this pod.
Of course, man.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we sat and listened to your interview with Roger yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
It was really good. Yeah, really enjoyed that. Roger's a G.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing.
Oh, man.
Spectacular producer.
Legend. Yeah, we did that song Divine with him.
Yeah, we have a song release that he helped us record up at that's at Hallowed Sound, his studio.
He did an amazing job.
And then
job with
mixed and mastered
Jamie's
it.
Voice.
Yeah, he makes me comfortable and makes me want to record something. So I might have to go make something up.
Should, man.
Be like, man, can you make this sound good?
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. His space is awesome up there, too. That church is crazy.
Oh, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool space.
Hallowed. Hallowed indeed. Thank you so much, Jamie and Maddie, for sitting down and having a fantastic convo. Absolutely loved it. Thank you so much. I'm going to play two songs. By Defied, the first one is Divine, and following that one, we'll hear Jack Moves. Have a great time being yourself. I've heard that yourself is quite the person to like. Bye-bye now.
forever like me turning eight.
Indicator in the cake, into lasers in the cake. Tip the cap and I escape. Fuck a hero in the cake. Fake and a child. Make like you cry. Waste out of mind. Got a pile on. See the sign on. So we're closed, right? That's a lot of no's, but this never goes right. False shadow.
False shadow.
False sight.
False sight.
Ain't about to battle. Fucking up my whole night.
Turn it up.
Turn it up.
Burn it down.
Burn it down.
This is sound. Ain't nobody heard about.
Serve it up.
Serve it up.
Everybody gather round.
Everybody pound.
Get it out.
Got it. Better
get it out.
Jet moves, you leaving what you came in with. Out that dumb dust can tell cause of the aimlessness. About to shot G, hosted where the taser is. Don't know what fate it is. Kick the locks, J the kiss. Made the mark, made the list. Off the market, made the miss. Hard to fathom, see the rift. Pay the 12, clean the fifth. Need a lift, piling in. Skip the line and filing in. Get it in and I begin. In the cycle round again.
Turn it up,
turn it out and burn it down.
This is sound.
Nobody heard about
serving.